The Last Years of David's Life, Chapter 79. You are still young and believe that life is pleasant, don't you? You play and romp throughout the entire day. Your father and mother take care of everything you may need, such as food and drink, shoes and clothing. Do you ever think of dying? No. You would rather not think about that, for you still are strong and healthy. You first would enjoy a little of this life. Later in life, when you are older, then you will have time enough to think about death. But who told you that you will become old? Young people also can die. We hear of it daily, do we not? But suppose that you really may become old. In your thoughts, that would be a long, long time from now. But that is not true. Time flies by. Before you realize it, you are old. Besides, old people often become too sick and infirm to think about eternity. Oh, boys and girls, do not wait until you are old. Ask the Lord daily to regenerate you and take away the enmity from your heart and to give you a new heart. Do not put it off until tomorrow, for then it may be too late. David did not put it off until he was old. No, he already served the Lord when he was a young boy. Now he is old. With age comes infirmities. Therefore, he cannot sleep well. Sometimes he lies awake the entire night. Usually he is cold, so cold that he lies trembling in bed. They must cover him with warm blankets. He must be taken care of and nursed as a child. For this reason, the Israelites give the king a young girl named Abishag. She must take care of the king. She must cover the king when he is cold. She must give the king a drink when he is thirsty. In short, Abishag must do everything for the king that he has need of. She is friendly and good for the king. She does her utmost to care for the king and make him comfortable. David had many sons. The oldest, Amnon, is no longer alive. He was murdered by his brother Absalom. Absalom was slain by Joab and his servants while he hung between heaven and earth on the branch of an oak. So this made Adonijah, another prince, the oldest living son of David. He thought he would become king in David's place because he was the oldest son of his father. He thought he would be the prince royal. But Adonijah notices in many things that not he, but his brother Solomon, who is much younger, shall become king. He cannot tolerate this. He obstinately thinks, "I shall be king. I will see to that." He speaks about it to Joab, the general of the army, and also to Abiathar, the priest. "I do not think it fair," he says. "Am I not the oldest? Why must my brother Solomon, who is so much younger than I, become king? What do you say about this? Do you think this is as it should be?" Joab and Abiathar agree with him. They promise that they will help him. Certainly. Why not? Why should Solomon, the son of Bathsheba, become king in David's place? That is out of the question. It shall never be. Not Solomon, but Adonijah shall be king. Do you know what Adonijah does? His father is old and sickly and expected to die soon. He will go against his father's wishes. He will declare himself king at this time. There is a fountain near Jerusalem. At this place he prepares a great feast. Sheep and oxen are killed. The other princes, all the brothers of Adonijah, are invited. Of course, Joab and Abiathar are present too, besides other servants of David and more of Adonijah's friends. But his brother Solomon is not invited. He is not permitted to be present. Neither Nathan the prophet nor Zadok the other priest are invited. Adonijah knows they will not support him in his plans. Soon all are seated at the feast. They eat and drink and are merry. Later, when the meal is finished, they will announce that Adonijah is king. Very secretly, Adonijah had prepared everything, for his father may not know of anything. Still, it seems as though someone has heard about it, because the news of it soon spreads. Nathan the prophet also has heard about it. He frightens exceedingly. Oh, if Adonijah is made king, Solomon cannot become king. But that may not be. Solomon must become king, because at Solomon's birth the Lord had made this known. Nathan immediately went to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and warned her, "Go directly to the king," he advised her. "Ask him whether he knows what is taking place, and tell him everything." Bathsheba hastily goes to the bedchamber of the king. She enters the room. Abishag is also there taking care of the king. Immediately, David sees that his wife has something to say to him. He asks in a friendly way, "What is the trouble, Bathsheba? Why did you come?" "King," she answers with a trembling voice, "you promised me that Solomon would be king, but Adonijah wants to become king. He has prepared a great feast and invited many people, but my son Solomon has not been invited." While she is still speaking, a few servants come in to say that Nathan the prophet has come to speak to the king. "Let him come in," commands David. Bathsheba leaves, and Nathan walks into the room. "Is it known to you that Adonijah has planned to let the people declare him to be king?" he asked hastily. "Does this take place by the command of the king?" David is startled with this information, but he immediately decides to stop Adonijah's plans. His old eyes begin to sparkle again. "Bring Bathsheba to me," he orders. When she comes, he says to her, "Bathsheba, I once said that Solomon shall be my successor. That is still to be." Then he solemnly continues, "As surely as the Lord liveth, Solomon shall sit upon my throne." Quickly, David gives orders that Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, the captain of David's bodyguard, must come to him. Shortly thereafter, they walk into the palace and stand before the old king. At this moment, he does not feel his weakness. His courage of former days again shines in his eyes. "Quickly, get my mule, the one which I always ride upon," he orders. "Let Solomon sit on my mule and anoint him king. Blow upon the trumpet so that all the people can hear it and cry, 'Solomon is king.'" These men immediately leave the king to execute his commands. They do it quickly, for haste is necessary. At any moment the trumpet may blow outside the city, and at any moment the cry may be heard, "Adonijah is king." Then all will be too late. David remains in his home. Oh, if only he could go with them, but that is impossible. He is too old and feeble. Still, he can do something. Do something? Oh, yes. He can still do a great deal. He folds his trembling hands, closes his eyes, and prays. He asks the Lord for help. He asks the Lord to give success upon this undertaking. And this prayer is heard by God. Hearken. Far in the distance we hear the sound of the trumpet. What can that be? Is Adonijah coming? No. The men who anointed Solomon blow upon the trumpets. The people, the inhabitants of Jerusalem also hear this. And they come out of their dwellings and run to the place from where this sound comes, inquiring what it may be. There they see young Solomon riding upon David's mule. They understand immediately what is taking place. For a moment it is quiet. Then a jubilant shout is heard, "God save King Solomon!" The entire city is in commotion. More people continually are coming, and everyone is in a hurry. The shouting is so loud that it is deafening. The noise echoes through the air, and the ground vibrates. Yes, and we read in the Bible that the earth rent. This shouting is heard far in the distance. In the meantime, Adonijah and his friends sit peacefully at their meal. If they had known what was going on in Jerusalem at this very moment, they would not be so calm. Suddenly, Joab raises his head to listen. "Listen," he says, "there is an uproar in the city. I hear the sound of trumpets. What does it mean?" Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, comes running to them. "Come in," said Adonijah. "Tell us what is the cause of the uproar in Jerusalem. Surely you are coming with a good message." But Jonathan shakes his head. He has come with evil tidings for Adonijah. Listen to what he says. "David, our monarch, has declared Solomon to be the king. And he caused him to be anointed king. For this reason they are blowing the trumpets, and the people are so happy. The people shout and sing for joy. David also gave thanks unto the Lord for this." For a while it was breathlessly quiet. The guests of Adonijah look at each other. They dare not sit there any longer. If the king should discover what they were about to do, no doubt they would be punished. Nervous and as though being chased, they all hastily leave for their homes. Perhaps they will not be punished if they go home quietly. Adonijah also is afraid. He is afraid Solomon may kill him, because what he did is really high treason. He flees to the place where the ark is standing and catches hold of the horns of the altar. That is a sign that he pleads for forgiveness. Solomon is informed that Adonijah has caught hold of the horns of the altar. If Adonijah shall promise that he will never do this again and that he will never again attempt to be king, "I will not kill him. I shall spare his life," Solomon says, and calls him to come. Adonijah comes tremblingly and bows low before his brother, the new king. Solomon says to him, "Go in peace to your home. I shall do you no harm." It has turned out well for Adonijah, hasn't it? Not long after this, there is a great meeting in Jerusalem. not all the people, but only the princes and the rulers, the officers of the army, and everyone who assisted David in governing the land are called together to appear before the old king. The king stands before this group and reminds them how he became king over Israel and how the Lord has helped him in everything. "Now I am old," he says, "but Solomon shall be my successor, and he shall build a temple for the worship of the Lord. My desire was to build it myself, but the Lord did not permit me because I fought so many battles. However, the Lord promised me that my son would build a temple. This temple must be large and beautiful. A great deal of gold and silver is necessary for this work. Therefore, I already have gathered together some." He tells them that he has stored many millions of dollars worth of gold, silver, brass, iron, precious stones, and all kinds of other ornamental things. For many years he has been saving for the building of the temple. "Come, will you also give something for the building of the temple?" the king asks these people. "If you do, it will be easier for my son Solomon." Will they refuse this friendly request of their old king? No, they cannot. They will not refuse. They give as much as they possibly can spare, and they give joyfully. David stores all these treasures, putting them with his own collection. Oh, he rejoices greatly. His friendly face beams with joy. For the second time, Solomon is anointed king, this time not by only a few of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, but by all the rulers of the entire nation. After this, David takes leave of them. First, he tells them that they must worship the Lord, saying this as a warning: "If you forsake him, the God of Israel shall visit you with his punishments." He also gives to his son Solomon the pattern of the new temple. David was not permitted to build the temple, but the Lord did show him how the temple must be built. Afterward, everyone returned to his own home. Soon after this, David died peacefully and calmly. In the Bible we read, "So David slept with his fathers. He went to sleep." This cannot be said of any ungodly person. God's people go to sleep when they die, because their souls go to heaven and their bodies rest in the grave. Many things happened in David's lifetime. During his youth, he walked as a shepherd through the fields of Bethlehem. Then a great change came into his life when he was called from keeping his father's sheep and anointed king of Israel. Terrible years followed. Years of grief and misery, years in which he often was in danger of losing his life, when he had to flee from his father-in-law, Saul, who pursued him as though he were the greatest criminal. But God watched over him and preserved him in a wonderful way. 7.5 years he was king in Hebron, over the tribe of Judah only. After that, he was king for 33 years over the entire nation of Israel. Many times he was in danger, fighting battles for many years. He lived through joyful and sad years. David had a great privilege. With all his sorrows and in the midst of the greatest dangers, he could go to the Lord. All things he made known to the Lord. In all difficult problems, he would ask the Lord for advice. David was a man who feared the Lord uprightly. Already in his youthful years, the Lord gave him a new heart. David was a child of God. Therefore, the Lord helped him in all things. God never forsakes his people. Oh, he sinned many times. Many times he did wrong, foolish things. Yes, sometimes very wicked things. Just think of Uriah. David had him put in a position to be shot to death by the Ammonites in order to steal Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. That was a sad event, the saddest in the entire life of David. The Lord chastised him heavily for this. The result of this deed was murder in his own family, among his own children. Still, David was never rejected, although he was severely punished. The Lord forgave him this terrible sin, and not only this sin, but all his foolish and wrong deeds. Oh, David really deserved eternal death and to be cast into hell, but he was not. Later, the Lord Jesus would be born from his descendants. He would bear the punishment instead of David. He would bear the terrors of hell in his soul, so that David would be eternally delivered from it. Jesus would die so that David would live eternally in glory. David believed that one day the Savior would come. David believed that the Savior would come also for him. The Lord gave him that faith which was true and upright. And in that saving faith, he died. As a fatigued traveler, he left this world. Children, no words can express how blessed David was. When he lay his head on the cushion, he slept with his fathers. His body rests in the grave until the last day. Then his body shall arise and will also enter into heaven. And what will happen to you when you must die? Will you die as David did? This only can be said of God's people. Upon the grave markers of many ungodly people, we sometimes read, "Here rests." But that is not true. That is a great lie. The ungodly do not rest. The ungodly are kept for the eternal place of torment. "Here rests" only can be put on the grave of someone who feared the Lord. There is such a great difference, isn't there, between those who fear and serve the Lord and those who do not fear the Lord. Do you ever think about these things? It is Sunday morning. Listen, we hear singing. The sound comes from God's house, and we hear them singing this solemn psalm or psalter. "The spacious heavens declare the glory of God." Oh, that is the same psalm which David once sang in the fields of Bethlehem. That was many years ago, nearly 3,000 years. But this psalm is still sung. This is a psalm written by David. David wrote many psalms to praise the Lord therewith, to sing them to the honor of God. These same psalms still are being sung. Wise men have translated them for us. The poets have written them in rhyme or verse, but they are the same psalms which David sang. Oh, David loved the Lord. Therefore, he also loved the services of God's house. He did many things for the services of the Lord. He put all those things in order before his death. There were thousands of priests in his days. They all could not be in the tabernacle and offer at the same time, for then they would be in one another's way. Therefore David divided them into 24 groups. They served by turn. Each group was permitted to be in the tabernacle for 1 week. Thus each week a new group came. He also divided the Levites into groups. They too served in turn. How wise and intelligent of David, wasn't it? But all these things were only for the Jewish nation. Now there are no more priests or Levites. Neither are they needed any longer, for we do not offer any more. The Lord Jesus has come. He has suffered. He has died for his chosen ones. At Jesus' death, all the offerings were ended. But the Psalms of David still are with us, and they will remain with us as long as the world exists. Soon the children of God will sing eternally in the heavens to the glory of God. David also will sing there. Here he wept many times. Here he had much sorrow. This came upon him because of his own sins, because of his own foolishness. But there he will never weep, because he never shall sin there. He will be forever with the Lord, whom he loved while he was here upon this earth.